Well, I want to echo with Andy and I'm sure the rest of the church that we're so blessed to have all of you here tonight. And it is just a wonderful thing to see the faith of God's children and how diligent we are to keep that faith and to assemble and to glorify God together. It's just a great thing. We started a series in the evenings called Drawing Nearer to God. And we want to think about that, drawing near to God. That's our goal here for some time. And it's something that we don't want to take lightly. And why we want to draw near to God? Well, we want to draw near to God because when we do, James says He will draw near to us. God, through the Apostle James, he gave a message to us. If you draw near unto me, I'll draw near unto you. Isn't that a great message? God of creation is going to draw near to us. And we just rejoice. It's exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or ever imagine. God is able to draw near to man. Now, as we think about this, I want to just, you know, a day without God is a bad day. A day without God is a bad day. Think about that. You know, there's no such thing as a day without God because God is eternal and there's no beginning, no end. And so every day God is there. But if you're living a life and you haven't drawn near to God, then you're living a life every day without God. And there are too many consequences that go along with that. It's not a good thing. Every day without God is a bad day. But because that's true, then the opposite is true, isn't it? Every day with God. Every day with God is a good day. You know, how many times have you talked to somebody and you've said something like, you know, I hope you're okay today, and that person, whoever it is, they say things like, hey, I'm on my feet. It's a good day. I'm on this side of the grave. It's a good day. And those things are true. It's a good day. Any day that we have God in our lives. Every day is a good day with God in our lives. And I want you to be thinking about this. You know, our theme for the year, you saw that up on the screen earlier, our theme for the year is together in Christ. God has done that to Christians. He's done that to His children. He's put us together in the body of Christ. We're all members of that one body. We're all members of that church. We're together in Christ. And there's so many blessings there to be together with God on a daily basis. And that in itself should draw us closer and closer together to be what God wants us to be a people who are precious, a people who have a zeal for righteousness, and a people who honor and praise and glorify God in every possible way. Just being called Christian draws us together as brothers and sisters in Christ in the most awesome faith. And I say awesome because it doesn't really matter who you are, where you're at in your understanding. This faith has been here since before the foundation of the world. The words that we're reading have been implanted here on the earth through the Spirit of God by the apostles and prophets. And we read these things and they don't change, and they're harmonious and they're powerful. And they tell us about a God who is so loving that He created a world for us. We want to draw near to one another, and we want to be a part of this plan on the positive side. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and at verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And you know, when you're in Christ, every day is a new day. When you're in Christ, all those old things have passed away. In Christ, we had a new beginning in our baptism, but it never stopped there. That new beginning goes on every day, and every day that God gives us breath. We have a new year now that we're working into. And the Lord willing, we'll have many new things and new opportunities to evangelize, to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus, and to draw near to God. You see, we have that opportunity because of God's love. And so we labor together in the work of the church for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And our goal is simple. You know, our goal is very simple. To increase our daily attention to God. If we were to do that, just have a daily time to where we just, whatever that is, if it's nothing, make it something. If it's something, make it a little more. Spend time every single day drawing close to God by the study, meditation of His Word. It'll help the whole church, not just you. And secondly, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, here's a quote. Life's greatest tragedy is not that it will someday end, but that most only live to follow directions, and sometimes we end up totally lost. And you know, and that's the way it is. You kind of decide who you're going to follow. The Bible makes it pretty clear there's really only two, God and the devil. You can follow the ways of God and Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that lead to heaven and life everlasting with God, or you can follow the ways of the world, the devil, that deceiver. We know that in the Garden of Eden, everything was great until they decided to follow the devil. Wonderful thing that God loves us so much that He planned even before that, that we could follow Jesus. And as we do that, great things can happen. Seeking God on a regular, daily basis, of course, it's a solitary undertaking for many of us. It's not something that is going to be a group thing every day and every day. Opening our heart to God with sincerity. Reaching out to the Father in heaven and trusting our Creator. King David is one of those who we can learn from about how to draw close to God. When you look in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, we read those words that David, he was a man after God's own heart. That was repeated again in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, that David was a man after God's own heart. And so you think about that. And we want to joy together and think just a little bit here about David and his words and how important it is to draw close to God like David did. Let's turn to the book of Psalm 63 with me. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. Listen to these wonderful, wonderful, encouraging words. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. David says, O God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with the joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. You know, we think about this and listen to David in his solitude privately, the kinds of things that he says that should be encouraging to us. He seeks God. He thirsts for God. He looks for God and he trusts God. You know, we do that like David. When we're at home alone or at nighttime or in the morning, it doesn't matter. Seek God. Let God be your salvation. Praise God with your lips. And you know what happens when you do that? You draw closer to God. You draw closer to God. It's a wonderful thing. If God is important to us, we'll walk and talk about God. But what we might not understand is the more we walk and talk about God, the closer we get to God. As we studied this morning, you know, we can be a voice here in this world we have, in this wilderness for God. And I know that for some members of the church, or sometimes it's very difficult even for Christians to be that voice. You know, we may talk about the Bible in groups like this and not have any problem at all. And we may talk about our lives and share with one another, and that's okay. But every time you practice talking and walking God in your life, talking about God and walking with God, and others see that, and you get built up and you get more and more drawn to God. Look with me at Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20 and through 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. Think about this. Of course, this is talking about a father to a son. But listen to these words. And let's apply this to ourselves. It says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies of the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you shall say to your son. And I want you to look at this. Then you shall say to your son. And what he's saying is, now tell him about God. Tell him about what God has done, what great things. When your son asks you, or when anybody asks you about God, about his law, about his son. In this case, he's saying, tell him about Pharaoh. And that we were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. And the Lord God took us out of Egypt. He brought us out with a mighty hand. Tell him about God. And every time you do that, you and that other person are drawn closer to God. He talks about the Lord God and how he showed signs and wonders before their eyes. Tell them about that. Tell them about the Lord who brought us out of slavery and that he might bring us into the land that he swore to our fathers. He took us out of the bad place. He took us out of this slavery and he brought us so that he could bring us to a good land. Tell them about the Lord. And as Christians, we can do the same thing. We can talk about this old sinful world. We can talk about, the teachings and the commandments of God, the moral laws, and we can share that with people. And every time you do that, you get closer to God. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Tell them about that. And share with them the good news of the salvation through the blood of Christ. Tell everybody that you meet about God. And we need to tell others about God. Hopefully, as we study these lessons, hopefully that we'll be motivated. I'm hoping that we'll be encouraged. I'm hoping that we'll open up and be able to have conversations to talk to somebody and say, hey, can I read the Bible with you? Every time you do that, you draw closer to God. It could be a great way to start a new friendship. Can I read the Bible with you? A new study. Maybe lead somebody to become a child of God. You know, this world, I don't think there's a more wonderful feeling than being close enough to God to know that he's in control and that Every time you pronounce His name, every time you speak of His wonders and His might and His power, His love and His salvation, you're drawing close to God, and so is somebody else. And you're helping them while you help yourself. It's a win-win situation. You just can't get better than that. And I don't think there's a better satisfaction, a better feeling than you get from helping somebody, your family member, a coworker, a friend, or just a stranger. Can you study the Bible with me? And that makes you closer to God. And it helps them to be closer to God. We've talked about this before, but prayer. You think about prayer. You know, it draws you close to God, and it draws close to you, the God of heaven. And when we think about prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we've heard, you know, pray without ceasing. And we know God hears our prayers. But I want to use a little acronym here that possibly this acronym would help you to remember sort of a method of prayer. The acronym comes from the word ACTS. Pretty simple. A stands for adoration, to adore God and worship Him, to fulfill the commandment, to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Adore God. That draws you closer to God. Every time you do that. You know, as we spend time in adoration, we praise God for who He is. It's a wonderful beginning. Our prayers are to God to praise Him for just for who He is. Just adoration. And then we go to the letter C. And we think about C and its confession. And we're not talking about a confession with a priest and a man. We're talking about confessing to God. Confessing to God your regrets in the sense of repentance or a sorrow that you have in your life. Confessing to God the troubles you're going through and maybe something that you did right or wrong and you just want to bring that out and get it off your chest and just go to God. Confess those things to God. And you know what this does? It allows you to clear a pathway spiritually. You get the sins out of the way from your relationship with God. The things that get in the way. And you get closer to God. And don't be afraid to do this. It could be a daily thing. None of us are perfect. But whenever something comes up, don't hold it. Don't hang on to it. Go to prayer and confess that to God. You know, it is so important because it helps us to reflect upon ourselves and the state of our own hearts, what our struggles are, what our weaknesses are, and we know that the God that we pray to is the one that we need to cast all our cares upon because He cares for us. That's who we want to go to. What are our hurdles to putting God first in our lives? Sometimes it's just ourselves. Sometimes we don't do it because of ourselves. We feel like we're not worth it to talk to God. I'm just too much trouble. There's no reason. Talk to God. You'll put these things away from you. God will strengthen you and you'll be drawn closer to God. And He'll draw closer to you. T. Thanksgiving. Each moment God blesses us, thankful. We should be thankful to God for His goodness, for His gifts. You know, you think especially of the wonderful spiritual gifts that we receive through Christ Jesus. Redemption through His blood. We read about that. It's a spiritual gift. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift. A guarantee of our inheritance in heaven to be a child of God, a spiritual gift. Being enlightened through the Word of God, knowing the hope of His calling. Just knowing these things and being thankful for them and putting them to mind. All these things will draw you closer to God.
And when it draws you closer to God, listen, being drawn closer to God, that strengthens you. It helps establish you, build you up in the most holy faith. The closer you are to the strongest being there is ever in existence will help you have confidence. It'll help you to get through every day and every struggle. S for supplication. Request. Asking God for your own needs, asking God for the needs of others, thinking of spiritual needs, and thinking of physical needs. David went to God often in prayer. Paul went to God often in prayer. We read about men of prayer in the Bible all throughout the Scriptures, and Jesus himself on earth as a man went to the Father in prayer. If Jesus did it, you think maybe we should do that? Let us work to make our prayers heartfelt when we go to God. It'll make us stronger, more direct our prayers to God, more centered on God, and less on the physical things, more on the spiritual things. Pouring out our hearts to Him is a good thing, and it draws us close to God. Can we learn from David? David, he had wonderful prayers. Obviously, the first prayer that would come to mind is the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He is rest for my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is a living psalm here. This is what God does for David while he's alive. Yeah. But here, in Psalm 18, let's look at Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Again, we're talking about David. King David. King David. David says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. You see that when you trust in God, He becomes your strength. You don't have to depend upon your own strength. You don't have to depend even upon your own spirit. God is your strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, David says, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, I will call upon the name of the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. David was close to God, man after God's own heart, and a great example. We need to be like that. We need to be close to God like David was. But when you think about that, what if you're not close to God? Do you really feel close to God today? Are any of these things motivating you? Are they kind of charging your battery? Are you wanting to go home and study? Are you wanting to leave here and go talk with somebody? Are you wanting to pray and meet with God spiritually? What if we're not near to God? What if you're not near to God? If you're not near, you're far away. What if some of these things you're thinking right now, I'm not really doing all that. I'm just kind of living day to day. I have a Bible that's in the glove box of my car. It's there whenever I need it. How do you measure the distance between you and God? Is it, inches, miles? Is it light years? How do you measure that distance between you and God? What makes God far away? Is it not we ourselves? It's not God. God's the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. God's the one that's omnipresent, always here, always with us. But in Isaiah chapter 59, we know the answer, right? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, his ear not dull that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. If you feel like God's far away, we need to do even just the things that we've already talked about. We need to meet God in prayer. We need to turn to His Word, and we need to be together, and we need to talk about God, walk with God, tell people about God. And if you feel like God's not close, the question really is, who moved? Who moved? There's a lot to think about there. Well, you know, let's go on here and think about something else. When we're talking about drawing closer to God, and there's little, tiny, powerful things that can draw us close to God. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3:18, Peter says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doing these little things each and every day is like grass growing in a field. You know, you don't see the grass growing. It's just like when you do the little things, studying and praying and seeking God and talking about God with people. You don't see the growth. It just doesn't pop out. But it's like the grass growing in the field. You don't see it, but pretty soon the grass is tall. And everybody that has a lawnmower, you know all about that. But it keeps growing because it's being nourished by the Creator. He makes it rain. He puts nourishment in the soil. He makes that grow just spiritually like He makes you grow as you continue and continue to draw closer and closer and closer to God. You know, the mistake that people make is that when you obey the gospel, and here you come up out of the water, you're saved, and boom! I'm saved. I'm all done. I'm ready. It doesn't work that way. There's something called sanctification. And we're not talking about being sanctified by the blood of Christ. We're being talked about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ to be sanctified by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Sanctification is a process. It begins by hearing the Word of God. That's where it begins. You know what happens next? It continues by hearing the Word of God. And you know when it ends? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and takes us up to heaven, because we obeyed the Word of God. Simple example of this, of course, is James 4:8. Drawing near to God and He will draw near to you is something that is in that principle. That's how we become sanctified. We continue to study and to turn to God in everything, and we just get built up and established, and He gets closer and closer to us spiritually. One idea. Every day that you start out, you find a passage in your Bible. Every morning or evening or however your day starts, you find a passage in your Bible. Something maybe you had, not something that's familiar, but you find a passage in your Bible. And then you read it every chance you get throughout the day. Carry your Bible with you. And you share that with family and coworkers every day. And each time you do that, every day it's different. And every day you get closer to God. And He's You just become stronger and stronger and stronger. You share it with everybody. You ponder on James and realize that that's exactly what's happening. What happens? God promised He'll draw near to you. What's the condition? You draw near to Him. How do you do that? Every day. Every day. Another one is be faithful. You know, Psalm 73. Let's read Psalm 73. 73, verses 27 and 28. Now listen to what it says. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your work. I mean, when you listen to that, the question, the thought, how much do you long to be close to God? How much? How much do you trust in Him? How often do you speak of Him? How often do you declare His name? In this psalm of Asaph, as you're listening to that, what will happen to those who are far away from God and desert God? What did he say? You shall perish, you'll be destroyed. What does the passage say is good? It is good for me to draw near to God. And what? Where is the psalmist? Where does he place his trust? In the Lord. What would he declare? All your works. Take time tonight when you think about that. It is good for me to draw near to God. I want to trust in the Lord, and I want to declare all His works. And as we go home and tonight and in days to come, take time to finish this sentence. You know, you could write it down. And if you can't remember it and you don't have a pen or you don't want to write it down right now, finish this up. I will draw near to Him because. You know, put your own thoughts there. I will draw near to Him because. And it's going to be a little different for everybody, but it gives you a personal stepping stone. Why do I want to draw near to God? Well, I want to give you a couple of good reasons. His matchless love. Brother Joe, he uses that phrase. And I love it every time I hear that. Matchless love. And that's what we're talking about here. The matchless love. Love of God, the matchless love of Christ, is indeed, it is a great motivator. But it's also a great method that can be used to draw ourselves to God. The power of His matchless love is seen in so many different ways that it can easily draw us right into this beautiful and amazing and powerful Creator. For example, study the background of His coming into the world and the things that He did in the world. Study about the love that God has poured out and given. Study about His last day as we do this and His death. And as you look at this thing, think about His coming. God loved Israel with an everlasting love. That's what it says there in Jeremiah 31:3. Think about the end of the Old Testament, the last words there in Malachi, that are in Malachi chapter 1 verse 2. Not the last words, but he says, I have loved you. And he's saying that to a people that have largely rejected him. I have loved you. So rightly, Isaiah, you know, in Isaiah 53:6, he writes there, we all like sheep have gone astray. And you see, the more you learn about God and His love, and even in the face of people who rejected Him, you have to understand that He's not like us. That's the background. What about the love that God gives? We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus' life was a life of giving, John 3:16. Through Him existed the form of God. Jesus is the one who emptied Himself, taking on the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men. It tells us that in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 7. He came to His own and His own received Him not. John 1:11. This is Jesus and His love. Undaunted by His enemies, that were there, He went about doing good, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The blind received their sight, the lame walked, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, Matthew 11:5. And He taught us that our primary obligation is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. You know, we exemplify His marvelous love by keeping His commandments. John 14, 15. And we can go on and on. You think about the last day. You know, when we see our Savior's matchless love from a perspective, when we study some of the last days of His life. In John chapter 13, in that verse 1, we read about Jesus having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. When He was hanging on the cross, He loved them. And does that thought of our Lord stumbling down that road in humiliation, in pain, suffering, having been beaten, and as that happens, this matchless love of Jesus, He's being led to the cross at Calvary, bloodied. And a woman comes and He refuses her sympathy. And He chose rather to give her sympathy. In Luke chapter 23, verse 27 to 31. And in spite of the intense pain, in spite of what He had felt, He was hung on that cross and His thoughts were on the cross, still about others. He cared about His mother. He cared about that thief on the cross. He cared about His disciples. He cared about us. Matchless love. His death. And when we think about His death, John, you know, the sacrifice would be incomplete if we fail to note that the Bible says about His death. And you know what's really amazing to me is that when we read this in John chapter 10 and verse 18, you know what? He said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." This is Jesus. What matchless love. He died for you and me, having the power not to die. It wasn't like somebody with their hands tied and they were drug over to a wall and shot. It wasn't somebody their hands were tied and they were put on a horse and a rope were thrown over a tree and they were hung. It isn't somebody that was taken into a prison cell and forced into a chamber and gassed or electrocuted or whatever. Against their own will, He did this. Because of the will of the Father, because of His love for us. He had the power not to, and He did it anyway. Jesus chose to lay down His life. John chapter 3, and at verse 16. He was wounded for our transgressions. So how should we live? How should we live? Well, here's eight things, and we'll close. Eight things. Love begets love. Don't forget that. You love God. He's going to love you anyway, but when you love God, it just builds up love. When you love other people, it builds up love. We should strive at having the same love that Christ showed us. And I suggest the following application of His love for our lives. Love Christ's body. Love the church. Ephesians chapter 5:25. Love the truth of God's Word. You know, don't overlook His Word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read that if we don't love the Word, we can't be saved. If we don't love the Word of truth, if we don't love the truth, we can't be saved. Love the truth of God's Word. Love our brethren and love the lost and cultivate that wonderful, amazing, that just mind-boggling love of God in your life, the character of love Think about 1 Corinthians. Read that chapter over and over again and learn from that about what love really is. And then think of those last words. Right? Love, hope, and peace. The greatest of these is love. And you know what that love will do? It'll build you up. It'll draw you closer to God. You know the song that we sang before the lesson? The song that we sang before the lesson, shelter me, safe in that haven of rest. That's because you drew close to God. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Draw closer to God. Give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. And he says, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer my Savior, still nearer to me, to thee. Will you draw near to Jesus tonight? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you believed and repented and been baptized into Christ? If you haven't done that, tonight is a good night to do that. It's chilly out there, but it's warm in here. And if you need anything else in the sense of the prayers of the church or studies or help, we're here to do that because we love God and we want everybody to draw near and nearer to God. So the invitation is yours. If you need anything at all, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.